Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our children are gone. Our families are falling apart. Our falling apart. We as a nation have totally failed.
Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
About you. I am your host, Leona Ross, Pastor Leona Ross of If My People. We're so glad to have you here listening in this Sunday morning. Hope it is a blessed day, a wonderful day for you, because the blessings of the Lord availeth much, right? And they add no sorrow. Amen and amen. We're going to get this show started. First, we're going to do a little bit of praise and worship, let you listen to about three or four songs. Then we'll be back to talk about our topic. We're going to be talking about what is real love in the world today, where there's so much adversity and so much differentiation about just that simple word, what love is. You know, can we really say, you know, I mean, it's rooted in forgiveness, number one, you know, because in order to love people, you know, we got to forgive people. We got to know how to forgive people. We often think that it's an emotional thing. So we're going to talk about all of that right after this little mini praise and worship song. So listen up, get your heart right, get your spirit right, and we'll be talking back with you in just a few. You're going to start out with Kurt Carr. We'll also have a little John P. Key and some Marva Providence. Listen and enjoy.
Oh God, once again, we come into your presence with expectancy in our hearts. God, we know you're going to bless us. So we lift our hands in the sanctuary and we give you glory and honor and praise.
We'll be right back.
people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
Cannot imagine.
Cannot imagine
the pain, the trials,
the pain, the trials I've had to endure.
You don't know.
You don't know my story. You don't know the day he
came. I was at my lowest.
At my lowest.
Skip
Hang on a second. We're having some technical difficulties. I just found out nobody can hear me. What's really going on now? See, that person who you thought was a woman of God, or you thought was a man of God. Only to end up hurt, resentful. So you just lumped all those people into a category and say, oh, well, that's how people are in church. They all fake. See, they all fake. But see, the very foundation of what real love is the ability to forgive. You can't lump all those, you can't lump all church folks or Christians, so to speak, in one category, because the ones that you were hurt by were the ones that you had an encounter with. You haven't encountered every other Christian in the earth. And remember, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, guess what? You got to forgive. That's what it says. The Lord's Prayer. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who what? Who trespass against us. So, let us also have a heart of forgiveness. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. If we really love people, are we really going to love people in spite of what they do, in spite of how they act, in spite of how, you know, they treat you? Yeah, that too. That part too. Because it said, God sent his son. God so loved the world, he what? He sent his son to die for what? For all of us. But we quick to say we love God, but how can we possibly love God if we don't love his people, if we don't love his creation? See? Number one, we got to stop looking for a physical and emotional thing. It is not any, love is not an emotional thing. I'm sorry, people, get out of your emotions. I'm sorry. But being in this flesh, being wrapped in this flesh, we don't understand that until we truly become a new creation in Christ Jesus and take on the spirit of the living God. Because the very essence of God is love. The very essence of who Jesus Christ was and is and continues to be is love. How many of you have children? Or somebody you really love and you really care about. Now, let me ask you this. For all those people who you know who hurt you, who treated you badly, who came against you, now you take your favorite son, your favorite daughter, or that loved one that you have, and you, like Abraham, like God told Abraham, I want you to go and sacrifice Isaac. That's what I want. This your only son now. I want you to sacrifice them for the sins of the people. Would you do it? Now, we can honestly say, no, that ain't even going to be a thought in our mind. Lady, you crazy. You crazy to even ask the question, but that is what God did. Do you understand? See, sometimes you got to make that thing personal to understand the magnitude of somebody laying down their life for you so that you can get back in that right relationship with God. So there was no longer a separation. So as the Bible says, we can go boldly through the throne of God and make our petition known. And anything that we ask in his name, believe it, so we shall receive it, because we didn't have that before. God just had this little certain group of people, the children of Israel, who still sinned against him and served pagan gods, but yet they say, oh God, we love you. we going to serve you, but only after they got chastised, only after they got into trouble. See, some of us think that love is an abusive relationship. We think that people don't love us unless they're mistreating us. And it don't necessarily have to be someone laying their hands on you. They can be just verbally abusing you, emotionally abusing you, and you keep running after that and keep running after that and keep running after that to get them to change, to prove that you love them. You don't have to prove anything. You don't justify your feelings to anybody. You're supposed to be justified in Christ. If that person is going to change, if that person is truly going to love somebody, it's going to take the love of God first to dwell in them, to understand that love is not an emotion. Love is not unconditioned. Love is not a quid pro quo. It's not, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. And we good. Give me this and I give you that. Another myth we need to get over is love is not sexual intercourse. It's not a feeling. I'm sorry. It's not a feeling. Because if it were, why then after the act do you still feel alone and lonely? Why is it that every time that person leaves, you know, you get that melancholy feeling? And sometimes wish, oh, man, I made a mistake. I wish I wouldn't have never did that. Are you just doing it to keep that person close to you? Sweetie, if that person is going to be close to you, he needs or she needs to be close to you for the right reason. Not because of what you're doing for them. Not because of what you're giving them. Not because of what you're buying them. Not any material thing. Because all of these things are temporary. All of these things are going to pass away. We're so free these days, you know, with the word love and with our emotions and with the things that we do with our body. Well, the Bible says, you know, you shouldn't fornicate. But see, no relationship, it seems to be in this day and time, is even a relationship without sexual intercourse. And God never meant it to be that way. In the beginning, God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, and he created her to be a helpmate. That's what the word says, a helpmate. And the two of them, it said they were what? They were one. They were in the same mind and more importantly, of the same spirit. We get so caught up, oh, you my soulmate. Oh, you my soulmate. God never called you to a soulmate. He called you to be one in mind, body, and spirit. With the spirit of the living God conjoining you together in the unity of Christ. See, y'all don't like that. But this is what you have to understand. You were never called to a soulmate because in your soulish realm are all of your emotions. That's why you can love somebody today and have be indifferent to them tomorrow, apathy the next day, and then you hate their guts. Why? Because it was all emotion. It was all emotion. See? No, God doesn't choose a soulmate for us. We choose soulmates for ourselves because remember, our soulish realm is where our emotions lie. We have to be led by the Spirit. We have to be led by the Spirit. And if we are led by his Spirit, because the Bible says, you know, put his kingdom first and all of his righteousness and everything else will be added unto you. He's going to order your steps to that man or to that woman that he has chosen. who will be right for your life, to walk with you in purpose. Adam and Eve walked together in purpose, not in lust, not in sexual intercourse. They walked together in purpose. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a what? I will make him a helpmate. I will make him. I'm going to make somebody to help him, to care for this job, this purpose, this garden, the way I put him at. See, because I have given him dominion over all of this stuff, but he don't need to be doing all this by himself. So when God sends you somebody, or when that person, or you meet that person who's going to help you walk with your purpose or into your purpose, you know, because they're going to be about their Father's business first and foremost. Because if you truly love God, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is first and foremost in your life, they're not going to do anything, number one, to distract you from that course. See, we choose so-called soulmates and get all off on the wrong thing and then going off in the wrong area and then wonder why it didn't work out. Did you pray first? Did you ask your Father? Did you do things in decency and order? Or was it just an emotion because, you know, you was tired of being by yourself? Or because all your friends were getting married? Or you just been alone too long and you just, you know, you want to switch things up? But even in all of that, you still feel empty. You're still unhappy. Why? You're not fulfilled. See? Romans 8:37-39 say, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's your missing part. That even though you're laying there with somebody, it can be your husband, your wife, or as they say, your significant other, and you still feeling empty, but they're there. And you still got that emptiness, but do you have the love of God in your life? That's the way that emptiness. See, because once you have the love of Christ, Christ comes in and he truly makes you a new creation. You don't even look at your own self as you used to. What other folks said about you, oh, boo, okay, you fine. It doesn't really matter. Because you find your true worth in who Christ said you are. He said you are the head and not the tail. He said you are above and not beneath. That scripture we just read, it said you are more than what? You are more than conquerors. So you know you are always victorious in Christ. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what circumstances come up. You know, because God is with you, who can be against you? That's truly walking in the love of God. That when people come against you, even when they hurt you, even when they lie to your face, when they take you to a place that you never really even imagined yourself to be, you can still say, that's okay, I forgive you, and I still love you. That's the love of God. Only the love of God can cause you to live that way, can cause you to be that way and not feel destroyed and not feel slighted. We get too emotional sometimes because we want people to be what they're not. See, we want to be one with the wrong thing, with the wrong person. God never called us to be one with flesh. He called us to be one in spirit. But we're always looking for something tangible. Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we see what we hope for, then really we're not really hoping for it, because it can be attained because it's physically right there. But if we believe the word of God and we have that hope in that, in what he has spoken over our life and what he has spoken about us, then we press on believing that it is truly going to come to pass. We awake each day with that expectation for God's word to be filled in our lives. How many of you, you get up in the morning every day, get up, make your breakfast, go to work or whatever. Now, when you get to that kitchen to make your eggs and sausage or whatever you have, you know what's in your refrigerator, so you expect that you're going to have eggs and sausage for breakfast in the morning, or you expect that you're going to have that cup of coffee, or you expect that when you get ready to go to work that your car is going to be in the yard and you're going to be able to go to work, that you're going to get to your place of employment. And you are assured of these things. Why? Because provision has already been what? Provision has already been made for these things. You already went to the grocery store. You got your groceries in the refrigerator. You got your breakfast there. You already paid your car note and insurance. You know, it's running in great condition. So there's no reason for you not to expect to get to where you need to go or to have that breakfast and coffee that you really wanted, that you thought about yesterday. So now, that same expectation that you have for the spiritual things, as it says in Hebrew 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You didn't hope that breakfast was going to be in there. You expected it to be there. Why? As I said, provision has already been made. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt in the earth among us. So God has already spoken the word. So therefore, our responsibility, if we truly believe what God has said, is to walk in expectation of that word coming to pass. In other words, we look for it to happen. We don't hope, because we are assured of his word if we believe. So then, I said all that to say this. So then, if God said, forgive our trespass, as he forgave us, shouldn't we expect also that word to come through, no matter how hard it is? Shouldn't we expect that God will give us a heart to forgive? If he's making us a new creation in Christ, if he truly made us in his image, and his image is that of spirit and that of love, then shouldn't we have that expectation to grow every day in love? And not in these circumstantial situations and conditional things, but to have the love that encompasses that peace that passes all understanding. That peace that says, okay, baby, it's all right when somebody slights you, when somebody comes against you, when somebody stands flat-footed in your face and tell you they can't stand you. Can you still have that love and have that peace and not be, as the Bible says, don't be anxious for anything, knowing that God is working it out for your good? Some things just come to buffer us, to cause us to grow. Because if we're truly rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, there is no weapon that is truly formed against us that shall prosper. It may form. But in the end, God is still going to have the victory over your life if you're rooted and grounded. See, because you are one with the Lord Jesus Christ and his spirit dwells in you, he would not have it that your foot be moved from his purpose, from his will for your life. Yeah, things are going to get rough. You think the enemy is just going to let you, allow you to walk in purpose, to preach this gospel to the nation, and nothing happens to you, and people don't come against you, no, he ain't going to just let you live free for real. Because remember, you have a real adversary. And remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. That's what the Bible tells us in Philippians, to tear down every high thought and every imagination that comes against the will of God. Everything, every thought, and let me stop right here, and let me tell you people, that every thought is not your own thought. Have you ever been sitting and you're contemplating and you're paying attention to something or even just studying the Word of God and a thought comes to you and you'd be like, well, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. You're doing something beneficial for your spirit. See? You're doing something beneficial for your spirit. And the enemy don't like that because the more you do, the more spiritual things that you do, the more you're likely to come closer to God. You're building a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. See? And they don't want that. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to get right. He doesn't want you to have a closer relationship with God so you can really start living holy, living righteous. He doesn't want that. See, because if he held you that long for X number of years in sin, as I said, do you think he's just going to allow you to walk free? I don't think so. So it is a real fight. And the battle starts in your mind. That's why the Bible says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. It's always a choice. It's always a choice. See? We have to make a choice. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to keep serving God through the trials and the tests? Are we going to keep serving our Heavenly Father even though people come against us and don't like what we say or don't like the changes that God is making in us? When we lose friends and maybe even family because we don't drink anymore, we don't smoke anymore, we don't hang out anymore because we always find ourselves in a church service about this business. Are we still going to hang on the lonely nights when it feel like we ain't got nobody to talk to? Nobody is hearing us? Are we going to spend our time in prayer talking to our Heavenly Father? Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he asked the apostles, he said, listen, can y'all pray for me just 1 hour? Because he knew what was coming up. He knew that the next few days, you know, he was going to have to give his life for mankind. See? He said, you people can't even pray a little bit for me. I just need you to pray for me. But they were tired. They were tired. And they went to sleep. This is in Matthew 26:36-46. This is a New American Standard. He said, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. Pray with me. I'm telling you what I'm going through. I'm revealing to you what I am really going through right now. And I really need your prayer. So he went a little beyond them, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, and he said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for even 1 hour." Then he told them again, "Keep watching and praying that you may enter in, that you may not enter into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came back to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." So now he reveals to them, "Listen, this is what I was going through, but it's okay. It's okay. I understand that you're tired. I understand it's been a long day. I understand that you can't pray with me, but this is what's happening right now." He didn't blame them. See, if you would have prayed, then this wouldn't have happened. No. He didn't put the blame on them. He still spoke the truth in love. The Bible says, "In love and kindness have I what? Have I drawn thee." We expect to draw people by an illicit doctrine that condemns them for every sin they ever committed. See? How? How? That's not even Bible. See? That's not even Bible. That's not even Bible. You're condemning folks when Romans 1 says that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So if there's no condemnation, then why are so many clergy, so many pastors condemning people for their sins? We're not your judge. Our job is to preach the word. And just as it says in Acts 2, that word, it did what? It pierced their hearts. And the people asked, "How then can we be saved?" And it says that 3,000 souls was added to the kingdom. Only because Peter stood up and said, "This is that. This is that." That was prophesied by the prophet Joel. See? He didn't say, "Because you people ain't saved, you going to hell." No. He didn't say any of that. He didn't say any of that. But this only happened after they was filled with the Holy Ghost. Because remember, they spent 50 days in the room. Jesus said, "Go up into this room and wait, and I will send the Comforter to you." See? And then all the people heard them in their own language. Acts 2 says, they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, are not all of these people Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born." There were Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them in our tongues, the wonderful works of God. See? Everybody heard in their own language. And they were amazed. But even in their amazement, and even in their amazement, others were saying, "Listen, these people just drunk. They just full of wine." Even after all that evidence, They said, we know these Galileans. We know they don't speak our language, but we hear them. See, denying the power of God, even though the evidence is right there. Now you want to say they drunk. But see, Peter hearing by the Spirit, he lifted up his voice and he said, listen, we're not drunk as you suppose. See, it's just the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, people. We're not drunk. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. He didn't say anything about the flesh. He said that this was going to be a spiritual transformation. So then why? Why are we trying to do it out of our flesh? Why are we trying to do it out of our flesh? And I'm going to tell you how you do it out of your flesh. Because you look at people and you make determinations on decisions that they have made about their life, rather than praying for them that God, you enlighten them. See? As I said, you know, at the end of that speech, after everything that Peter said, when he told them about they crucified, they gave him the whole lineage of who Jesus was, then they told him that you people, you know, you crucified him. You crucified him. But when it gets down to verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. They asked the question. They asked the question. We now see the evidence. We now see the error of our ways. And if you're telling the truth, if you're teaching in love and not condemnation, God's Holy Spirit, if it truly dwells within you, His Holy Spirit is going to pierce their heart. It's going to be something in them that convicts them. They say, oh, Lord, I need to change. See, because it's not a worldly love. It's not an emotional love. It's your love and concern for God's people. It's that agape love that doesn't look at the condition or the circumstances that the man or woman or that the people are in. But it's looking at how God sees them. I see you how God sees you. He doesn't see you in your sinful state. He sees you as the words that he has spoke over your life. He see you blessed. He see you healed. He see you successful. His word says, I wish above all things that you would what? That you would prosper and be in good health. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make it up. That's in there. See? That's in there. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health. I want you to have everything that you need. I already told you that whatever you ask for in my name, believing, so shall you receive it. I already told you that. He said, even as your soul prospers. So not only in the spirit that he wants you to prosper, but he wants you to prosper in the natural. when you get your house in order, when you put me first. See, I can open doors and make some things happen for you. I can put that right mind in you. That even when things come against you, as I said, you know that you have the victory. You know already that the battle is already won. Because if I'm for you, then who can be against you? You see? That's real love. That's understanding. That it's not about an emotional thing. It's not an emotional thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's looking beyond your circumstances. It's you're looking beyond what happened. It's forgiving and loving in spite of. And even if that person never wants to have anything to do with you anymore, it's having the ability to walk away and still be at peace. And allowing God to change the situation. See? See? Sometimes we try to fix things ourselves, rather than let the Father who created us and truly knows our heart have his way and his will. Because we think that we can do it. No, you can't love a person enough to change them. Only God can do that. Because it's a spiritual thing. You can support them. You can pray for them. You can be there for them. But at the end of the day, the choice is still going to be their choice. At the end of the day, they got to love God more than anything else in their life and to want to be changed. They have to want to surrender their life, just to lay down their life, to lay down how they think, how they feel, and how they think things ought to be, and really say, God, listen, I surrender. I know that I'm not the person that you created me to be. And I know I'm caught up in a lot of things right now. Some I chose and maybe some I did. But this is where I'm at and this is who I am. But you show me who you want me to be. You take me down that path of righteousness that I hear everybody talking about. Or that I hear Pastor Ross talking about. Or whoever your pastor is. Or whoever you hear or have heard. Of that word that truly touched your heart and got your attention and made you realize that, hey, you can have better because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can be greater. So then you know you can stop settling. You can have that peace that passes all understanding. You can have that everlasting love of Christ. And if you got an issue with forgiving people, pray. Ask God to give you a heart that forgives. But the first thing you need to do is ask God to remove the hurt and the bitterness for you, from you. That deep-seated hurt that you held in your heart, that you just didn't want to go because that person never apologized. Well, guess what, sweetie? You may never get an apology from that person. But for your own health and for your own mental stability, you got to learn to let it go. Give it over to God. Tell him about it. Yeah, it's going to be some weeping and crying because some things just hurt. And they hurt to the core. Some things hurt so badly, you don't even talk about them. To know you just held and allowed that thing to eat at your emotions, to eat at your soul. Even though you say, oh, well, it don't matter, it does, because every time you think about it, you're angry. Are you tearful? Are you blaming somebody? And even some of us blame God. Case in point, I met this lady some years ago. She was on the street, and I was praying for her. And I stopped in the middle of the prayer because it hit my spirit to ask her why was she angry at God. And she looked at me. She looked at me and she said, because he killed my son. And me being young in ministry, I really didn't know what to say to her. I said, I don't think God killed your son. He may allow some circumstances to happen in his life that took him away from here. I don't think he killed him, though. I say, but at the end of the day, he's still God. I say, did you tell him? Did you ask him to change your heart? You're like, nope. And she stayed there in that same situation, angry at God because her son died. And she never told me how her son died or any of that. But a few years later, my son was murdered. And I was angry. I was mad. And I wanted to do some stuff to some folks. But I stayed in prayer and I stayed before God because I didn't want to be that person anymore. I didn't want to be that person so full of hate, so full of anger, and so full of rage that your only thought was to find that person and take their life too. I didn't want to be that person anymore. So I stayed in God's faith. And I ain't going to say it happened overnight. And I ain't going to say it happened within a year. It took some time. But I stayed there until God healed my heart. It's okay. The Bible says to anger, but sin not. Yes, we're human. We're going to have emotions. But he said, don't let those emotions overtake you. It doesn't mean that you don't love people. It doesn't mean that you don't have the love of God in you. Remember Christ came into the temple and he turned over all the tables of the money changers. He said, My father's house should be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. He was angry. But did he sin or did he tell the truth? That's the difference. The Bible says the truth will make you free. Everybody says set. No, set means you put it in a stationary place and it stays there. But I found out in going through that transition at that time that the truth makes you free. It makes you face some stuff that you don't want to face. It makes you feel some things that you really don't want to feel in order to be in the place that God has called you to be in. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to go through the fire. Oh, yeah. And you can't go through it lying to God and lying to yourself, because in order to get to a place where you experience real love and there's no more emptiness, you got to get in God's face and lay it all out on the carpet, that he gives you a new heart and a new mind, that it's no longer a lustful thing, it's no longer a fleshly thing, it's no longer an emotional thing, but you're one in the spirit with the one and true living God. And then you can look at your brothers and sisters, and even though they slighted you, even though they wronged you, you can still say, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. I forgive you anyway. See? And you no longer look at other people's sin, whether, no matter what it is, because to God, all sin is sin. There's no greater sin except blasphemy, which you can't be forgiven for. That's what the word said. But to God, sin is sin. And you're able to forgive. You're allowed to live and let live and go on in the things of God. Why? Because you have that assuredness in Christ that all is well. And it's going to be okay. And that if you give it over to the Father, guess what? He's going to take care of it. So you no longer have that anxiety, or you no longer have that burden to worry about, oh my God, this person did A, B, C, and D. I need to get my revenge. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. And because you are a child of God, remember, Isaiah 55 and 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every lying tongue that rises up against you, the Lord thy God shall condemn. Not you. You ain't got to open your mouth. All you got to do is keep living, keep being obedient to what thus saith the Lord concerning you. That's basically it. That's real love. That's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it a process? Yes. And the process is only as long as you want it to be. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. It's not going to bum rush you. You got to invite him in. You got to allow him to have his perfect work in you. Got to allow him to do that. And I promise you, the peace and the serenity that will come to your life is more than worth it. You'll find yourself happy and gleeful and smiling and rejoicing, and everybody going to be, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy? Hey, God is good. I used to wonder when people would tell me that all the time. They was like, God is good. What you mean God is good? And they would always say, well, praise the Lord, today is a good day. Okay. But when you know him for yourself, when you know him for yourself, when you experience what the joy of the Lord is and the peace that passes all understanding, nobody can move you from that. Because you have that assuredness in your spirit that you are the very essence of who God has called you to be, of who God is. It's not a problem to tell somebody, I love you, regardless of what they do. And keep moving on. Keep moving on in the things of God. It's just that simple. But you got to press. You got to press. You got to have a made-up mind that this is what you want to do. Now, we got about 5 minutes. We're going to pray, and we're going to get up out of here. I hope this word has been a blessing to your spirit, your mind, and your body. I hope that you have something of value to take with you throughout the week. Again, this is just a special segment, but we will be back here on Thursday evening at 4. And we'll continue to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So, as we prepare ourselves for this word, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask that every soul, that every man, woman, boy, and girl that is listening, Lord God, that whatever circumstance that they're in, Lord God, that keep them far from you, Lord God, that you touch their heart, you touch their mind, you touch their spirit, Lord God. I ask that you bless them, Lord God, as only you can. Bless them abundantly, Lord God. Draw them nearer unto you, Lord God. Let them know that you are a way maker, that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you are a provider. Lord God, that you are Jehovah Tsidkenu, that you are their righteousness, Lord God, and that no weapon formed against them shall ever have a room to prosper. Lord God, I speak that that which you have purposed for their lives, Lord God, it comes to fruition and maturity in their lives. And as such, Lord God, we bind the will of the enemy that comes against them, Lord God, right now. We speak healing. We speak deliverance now, Lord God, to these thy people, Lord God. Send your angels forth, your warring angels, Lord God, to fight for them, Lord God. We send your healing angels forth, Lord God. Your word says you sent your word and you healed them and you delivered them from all of their destruction. So whether it's an emotional illness, a mental illness, or a physical illness, Lord God, we send your word forth for healing. We send your word forth for deliverance right now, Father, in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And we wait in expectancy, Lord God, because we know you're doing. We know you're doing. As you said, anything that we ask in your name, believing so shall we receive. And because we believe you, Lord, we count it as done. And we thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And we give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I hope that you all are blessed and have been blessed by this segment this morning. Blessings on you. I love you again. This is Pastor Leona Ross with If My People. And we're going to take you out of here with Fred Hammond, All Things Are Working For Me. And y'all hang on to that. Know that even in your roughest time, God is still in the midst, and he's going to work it out for your good. Have a very blessed day, very blessed week, until we meet again.
But he'll speak peace and it will Hallelujah.